Well, the train sound for several decades. Starting before the Second World War, American children and adults have loved electric model trains. Train sets were the kind of ultimate Christmas gift and a major source of entertainment for countless families. I got a train set when I was, about 8 years old, a Lionel train set. And we're going to be talking about Lionel trains, as a matter of fact, with our guest, Roger Karp. Roger, senior editor of Classic Toy Trains magazine and author of the new book. I have it right in front of me. It's titled Lights, Camera, Lionel Trains, A Photo History of an American Icon. As a kid, did you play with an electric toy train set, or are you an adult who still collects and works with model trains? I really hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Roger Karp with us by phone. Roger, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Larry, thank you so much for this invitation. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, you've been a longtime editor of Classic Toy Trains magazine, certainly an expert on electric trains and their popularity. Why have they had such an enduring appeal for many Americans, do you think?
It's a great question, and I think it really starts with the excitement of electricity. Electricity in the early 20th century was what AI and computers are today. It was a new frontier, and I think children were thrilled to be playing with something that was run by electricity. It was magical, and I think it's really had that magic ever since.
Yeah, I think you're right. You describe electric train sets as icons, American icons, like baseball caps or blue jeans or leather jackets. Everybody wants. How did that happen?
It was great advertising. It was great promotion by Lionel, which has been around for 125 years, which is remarkable for any business, but especially one that's in the toy field. And they marketed well. They marketed to adults. And they marketed to older children, and it was a status symbol to older kids to get this very sophisticated and expensive plaything, this electric appliance, if you will. But they advertised to parents and grandparents who were the ones buying toys. And they really gave the impression that the boy, and it was very much a segregated by gender toy market in, say, the first half of the 20th century. The boy who played with a Lionel train today would grow up to be a productive, industrious, civic-minded citizen, grow up to be the right kind of person that they wanted their young man to be. And so it just it was the perfect way to promote their trains.
It is really, really interesting how they were promoted. And your new book focuses on trains made by Lionel Company.
Yes.
Where did that name? I know where it came from, but I'll ask you, where did it come from, the name Lionel?
Well, it was the middle name of the principal founder of this company in 1900. His name was Joshua Lionel Cohen, and he realized that to go with calling it Joshua or calling it Cohen would call great attention to his ethnicity, to his Jewishness. And so he wisely opted for his middle name, Lionel, which I think we would agree sounds a bit aristocratic. It sounds very proper, maybe even with a hint of Anglicized in there. And interestingly, in 1910, 10 years later, he did Anglicize his last name, changing it to Cowan. And so, as he once said, Lionel was the obvious way to name his company.
And it's got a forward-sounding name to me, too. You know,
yeah.
And kind of a cool name for a product. So I like it a lot. And
yes.
your book, which I'm really enjoying, is focused on photography and how the Lionel trains and others were marketed. And I really enjoy the photos in the book. You've got many pages and little stories about each one. And we'll get into that, but I've got Kevin in La Crosse online and waiting to come on. So let's go there. Kevin, thank you for calling. Hi.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for calling in.
So,
I just wanted to remark, I'm 36 years old now. My grandfather passed away when I was 3. I only really have one visual memory of him, but he left, I think it was a 2HO Lionel train set, model set, with my father, and told him to give it to me when I was 10. So my dad held on to it, and it was one of the coolest toys I ever got for Christmas, and honestly, the only one my grandpa really had time to give me. So I just wanted to leave that comment there.
Oh, that's cool. Do you get comments like that from other folks, Roger Carp?
I do, Kevin. Thank you so much. This notion that electric trains was a multi-generation hobby is something I've heard again and again, that when kids would be given a train set, especially in the 1940s and into the 50s, it was made clear to them that this was a family possession because it was expensive and it was sophisticated. And everybody wanted to run it. It wasn't just for kids. So what Kevin just talked about, how a grandfather would pass it on to a father who would pass it on to Kevin, that's 3 generations. So you can tell this is much more than just a toy. This is more than a wagon or a pair of roller skates. This really has great sentimental value for a family. It's part of Kevin's family's heritage, and I imagine he'll hold on, and should the time come, he will pass it on to a next generation.
It's really cool, and people took really good care take really good care of those trains. That's much better, I think, than some of the other toy gifts that they might get.
So true, Larry. I can vividly remember at age 6 in 1957 when I received my first Lionel set. I had that sense, I have to take care of this. I can't damage it. I really have to take good care of this, including the boxes. And so I felt more grown up, as though my parents had entrusted me with something very valuable, very meaningful. And I would imagine countless children felt the same way.
Yeah, I certainly. And they were, I guess in a way, they were kind of expensive given the times, the early times in particular. You get back into the 30s, you had, a depression.
Oh, it's so true. I have done a little comparison of pricing and the consumer price index from the late 40s. And a Lionel train set, a middle-of-the-road set, was on par with a large radio console or even a small refrigerator as far as prices go. And it was, which meant it could be, for the typical American worker, we're talking 2 weeks' pay. So no wonder families treasured these, and they considered it a family investment. In fact, Lionel said that. Their trains were a family investment in happiness. So no wonder they would be played with, put out for the holidays, and then so often put away in January. And the kids were told, it's put away. We'll take it out again around Thanksgiving. So it's just a whole different frame of mind. But yes, these were expensive, sophisticated, top-of-the-line playthings, toys.
Clint in Duluth, Minnesota, will give you a chance to join in. Hi, Clint.
Well, good afternoon. My 8-year-old brother and my 6-year-old self got our Lionel train in, I think, 1953 or 4. We still have it. We had loads of fun with it. Not only running the train, but it was, I'm sad to say we electrocuted a fair number of frogs on the track. And when we combined the track with the erector set and steel bearing, it made a great racetrack for things. So it was more than just train fun. And then when I was a medical resident in New Haven, Connecticut, and every day I walked to and past the Lionel dusty factory windows, and I would peer in, and always it would trigger good memories.
Well, Clint, if I might make a little bit of a correction, but it's a good one. You mentioned New Haven, Connecticut. That's not where Lionel was. The factory that you saw was its great rival, the A.C. Gilbert Company, which did indeed make erector sets, but they also made a Lionel's rival competitor, American Flyer Trains. But the Gilbert Company was like Lionel. It was a brilliantly run enterprise, doing everything it could to reach and educate older boys. So thank you.
Clint, thanks a lot for calling. And Rick in Portage County?
Hi, Larry and guest. Thanks for taking my call. A number of years ago, we were staying on Mackinac Island, and after a big dinner, we were out for a stroll, and we ran into the caretaker of the Lionel Mansion on Mackinac Island, and he invited us into his quarters, and there was quite a display of trains in there. And there were some model trains that were extremely large, like I'd never seen. Maybe the cars were maybe 10 or 12 inches long. And it was just quite an amazing thing. He let us peer in the windows of the mansion, but it was quite an experience, and we were actually quite thrilled.
Oh, Rick, a great story. Roger, are you familiar with that mansion?
I am some, and I'm fascinated by Rick mentioning larger trains because it brings to mind the ones that were so popular in the 1940s and 50s. Before World War II, Lionel had a larger product line, and it was called Standard Gauge, and these were as post-war trains were die-cast metal and plastic. The ones before the war were pressed steel, and they were beautifully painted, beautiful enamels. And these are so valuable, and they just are gorgeous artifacts, gorgeous works of art that attest to the industrial excellence of Lionel. And so I think I know the mansion and what was there. So, Rick, thanks for mentioning that.
Rick, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate the call. Your book demonstrates how important photography was in advertising and marketing Lionel trains. The company really embraced it, photography.
Yes, it did. From an early on, I'd say as early as the 1900s, and again, this is a company that started in 1900, very forward-thinking, very much marketing was important, and they wanted to show the trains because this was a way to sell them. And then as much as it could, Lionel would promote itself, because a still photograph is good, but moving pictures are even better. So starting in the 1920s, Lionel was working with Hollywood studios to get its trains placed in movies, especially in the 1930s and into the 1940s. This is a time of the year, maybe many of your listeners have watched the movie with Robert Mitchum and Janet Leigh called A Holiday. Holiday Affair, and that's a great one with Lionel Trains in it. People Will Talk has Cary Grant and Gene Crane in it. And later in the 1950s, you would see Harry Belafonte with Lionel Trains. And so it just photographs and movies were really, really important.
You got a really cool, you have so many cool pictures, photos in your book. I was remembering one with Olivia de Havilland and the movie,
yes.
And in the movie Four is a Crowd.
1938, Olivia de Havilland, Errol Flynn is in it, Rosalind Russell, great movie stars from that golden age of Hollywood, and an enormous Lionel display was built for this movie because it was used with one of the Hollywood themes. How do we show an old man that we think is all stuffy and serious and not in touch with younger generations? Let's have him pose with toy trains, and all of a sudden he comes alive, and that's what happens in this movie, and we've seen it in other movies. And so it was really something that Lionel was promoting in real life for dads that were worried about losing touch with their sons and daughters. An electric train, a Lionel train, would help dads stay youthful, not childish. He would stay boyish. He would have all those great qualities while he played with his kids. And in fact, as so many of your listeners can attest, that's what was happening in real life. Dads were working with their children together on a Lionel set. That was certainly my experience with my father. It was something that brought us together.
Yeah, mine as well. Elizabeth in Appleton, your turn. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Larry. This is a great show. I believe it was 1959, I won a Lionel electric train. I was about 4 years old, and my father was in the hospital, and my mother had four little girls at home. Then she entered a Cocoa Puffs contest, and the test was you took the letters of your name and had to scramble them up and make a new name. And, you know, she didn't think anything would come of this. But months went by, and packages started arriving to me. And my father was in the hospital. My mother was so worried about money and everything. And I saw the boxes, and I immediately knew it was the Lionel train. And I still have the original boxes. It still runs. And anyway, I just thought we only got it out at Christmas, and my mother made sure that we took care of it. 1 year after my father died, we got the train out, and I put a battery in the engine so that the horn would honk. And when we put the train away, we didn't take the battery out. So it rusted, but the only thing that's wrong with that train is that a little bit of rust on the engine, the horn doesn't work anymore. But we had years and years of fun with that.
Oh, that's,
and I hope to pass it on to grandchildren someday.
Great story, Elizabeth.
Oh, Elizabeth, thank you. And I would like to add, and I'm quite serious, I'd love to write a story for our magazine about what happened with you in that Cocoa Puffs contest. I don't know whether, Larry, if you can get contact information, but I'm quite serious. I have written about winners of contests before, but Elizabeth, your story is wonderful. It's heartwarming. And so, Larry, I hope I'm not breaking any rules.
No,
I think to follow up with Elizabeth and learn more and write a story.
The probably the simplest way would be for Elizabeth, maybe do you have a contact on your website?
I do. Yes. And, you can go to, I can give you my email.
Okay.
But which is, and really any of your listeners that want to share stories about their toy trains, I love hearing them. And my email is my first name, Roger, R-O-G-E-R, _ my last name, Carp, like the fish, C-A-R-P, @att.net. But we've got some great stories. But Elizabeth, yours is definitely an article in the magazine. So I'd love to work with you on that.
So Roger, and then the underscore.
Yes.
Carp, and then, C-A-R-P, at ATT.net.
Yes. Thank you.
I hope she follows up on that, and others want to join in. They can do it as well.
Absolutely.
There were insider and outsider shots that you cover in your book. What was the difference there?
It's sort of a broad and general distinction. Insider shots are photos that Lionel either commissioned or were taken within, say, one of Lionel's showrooms by visiting families, or maybe at its factory in New Jersey by journalists. I thought of outsider shots as ones that were taken, say, a family at Christmas, and just taking a picture for the family album of kids unwrapping their trains. Maybe they had gone to a department store and they snapped a picture of a display there. So they're quote-unquote amateurs, but the pictures are capturing beautiful moments. And so I tried to blend them. Another example would be any of the publicity shots that Hollywood studios took of celebrities with toy trains. Betty Grable, Rita Hayworth,
Frank Sinatra was a fan.
Yes, he was. Frank Sinatra was a fan. Nat King Cole. And then more recently, your listeners are probably familiar with Neil Young, the great rock singer. Neil is passionate about Lionel trains. Mandy Patinkin, Broadway singing and movie star. So the interest continues.
Tim in Monona has a quick question, I believe. Tim, hi.
Hi, Larry. How you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call. Go ahead.
Yeah, just a question for your guest and a story to follow. I hope he could comment on the other gauges of toy trains, the HO scale and N scale and such, and how they competed with or were meant to compete with Lionel. And aside from that, just a quick story. My dad bought me a train set when I was just a tiny tot. And, of course, we were in bed, and my dad and my uncle decided that they needed to test it out to make sure that it worked.
You can imagine what happened from that. Tim, thanks for that story. Appreciate it very, very much. Well, these days there are a lot of model train shows. There's a resurgence in popularity. And now you can run them off an app and off your phone.
That is so true. In fact, my six-year-old grandson uses an app on my phone to run a train using Bluetooth. And it's great. And this is how new generations are getting involved and enjoying toy trains, because technology has always been one of the drawing cards, whether it was electricity 100-plus years ago, and now we know that it's phones and it's Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So that's really, to me, that's the excitement, that's the innovation, and that's what's going to keep this hobby going and continuing to interest people of different generations.
And I will mention, from December 6th through the 31st of December, Holiday Express Model Train and Flower Show at Olbrich Botanical Gardens in Madison. I never miss that. And I've really enjoyed your book, Roger. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. Roger Karp's book is Lights, Camera, Lionel Trains, A Photo History of an American Icon. And I'll give you his email again. It's roger_karp, C-A-R-P, at ATT.net. If you want to send him a story about your own Lionel trains. We didn't cover very much as we could have, but we covered a lot. I want to thank you for being with us, Roger, and big thanks, of course, to our normal crew, Joel Padnock, Clara Neipert, Lee Rayburn, and I am Larry Mueller.